You are listening to Lucha Underground.
Dude, that is straight up whacked. You know it, and I know it, but hey, it is what it is.
Now, all of you, tighten up your buttholes!
You're just a fat piece of trash. Now somebody get this fat trash out of here.
Oh my God, bro, he could have killed her.
Dario's Dial of Doom. Most importantly, Varen!
Boutros, Boutros, golly!
I'm at a cafe!
That's how you do your job.
Hello, and welcome to the final episode.
Could be.
Of Lucha Underground.
Very well, could be.
The premier Lucha Underground after show on the web. For the final time, most likely. My name is Max, and back from a short hiatus with me. Well, we can't say as always anymore, can we?
I guess.
Wow, have changed. Things have changed. Yeah. With me today, co-host
Travis.
Wow, been a while.
Yeah. Welcome back, pal.
Yeah, thank you very much. Over 2.5 weeks mm-hmm. since we've been in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot for holding down the fort. You did a great job.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It was good, and it was an interesting experience.
Yeah. How did you find podcasting alone? I'm sure some people who are listening to this, if they're listening to wrestling podcasts, have considered mm-hmm. doing a solo podcast.
Yeah.
How would you describe it?
It's, I for me, I'm just good at yapping, good at yammering mm-hmm. when I have to. So mm-hmm. it worked. Or I think it worked for me. There were times where I felt like I kind of trailed off, but that, I think I tightened it up a bit in the second one.
Yeah,
that's all just know what you're going to talk about, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You can't just, because there'll be a few times, Trev, when we've sat down here and I hadn't taken notes.
Yes.
I'd watched the episode, of course I'd watched the episode.
Yes.
But I would sort of rely on you mm-hmm. to inspire.
A crutch of sorts.
I suppose. Yeah. Anyways, we're back now. When I got back,
yes,
I binge watched all of Ultima Lucha Trace,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't take notes. But there's a few things after listening to your podcast,
yes,
and then having watched the episodes, there's a few things that I would like to mention.
Yeah, I wanted to hear your thoughts on these last two.
So the most important thing is that when we saw Drago in his Ultima Lucha Trace match,
uh-huh.
he was wearing
what?
Gold and green,
yeah.
which was gear we had never seen him wear before. And when you were talking about it, you brush it off like it was nothing. You said, Travis,
uh-huh.
you're like, oh, Drago's wearing his gold and green. We've seen that
As
before.
Usual.
We had never seen that before.
All right. Maybe I was mistaken.
Oh, my God.
I'm not familiar with this guy's history, I guess. I thought I'd been paying close attention.
Not close attention enough.
No?
No.
Had he wore green before?
He had never worn green or gold before in Lucha Underground.
Okay.
Obviously, he has this thing made, so he's probably wearing it somewhere else. But we had seen, if you think back.
You are fired up.
I am. I wrote that in all caps in my book. I never did that. If you think back, Trey,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he first debuted in season one, he wore the sort of baby blue number.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
And then he did wear a black.
That's
black for quite a bit of his run.
Sure.
He also had a red and gold
mm-hmm.
For one episode.
Like hot stuff?
Some people say he should wear that one more.
Who are these people?
Me.
Okay.
Mostly. He also had a blue and white number.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some rumors. Mm-hmm. There's some internet chatter.
Yeah.
That it's a debate.
Okay.
That he merged in sort of like a blue, white, purple.
Ooh.
Sort of like an abalone shell.
Ah.
Yeah, but it's unconfirmed. It could just be the light
uh-huh.
or the camera, a trick of the camera.
Uh-huh.
And of course, he had his dark red and a black number,
mm-hmm.
sort of a demonic.
Yeah.
You might remember the eyeballs on the sleeves.
It's all coming back.
Mm-hmm. And I believe now he's worn the green and gold.
Yeah,
so that is the amount. I think that's the end.
The run. That's it. Now that you say that, I seem to remember us talking about it before once or twice.
Yes,
that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Good. I'm just trying to say is pull your head out of your ass.
Okay, got it.
That's pretty much my only note for all of Lucha, Ultima Lucha, or Lucha Underground episode 39 and 40.
Yeah. What do you think about the matches?
Matches, I mean...
What do you think about the skewers into the cranium?
Oh, dude, yeah. You have to give Lucha Underground some credit for being... I was thinking about this as that was happening, is because all of Ultima Lucha Trace has been... like deathmatch wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and
I wouldn't say all. I'd say the majority, in particular.
I would say so much of it.
Color doesn't equal deathmatch exactly.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. But there was definitely death matches on this.
They upped the violence,
and I wonder, the ratings on this are probably like between 150,000 to 200,000 people.
That sounds about
are
right.
Are these the most viewed death matches in history?
Ah. Excellent question.
Because I don't know what the viewership was like at the height of like
ECW or
FMW or whatever
whoever.
Exactly. So these could be the mm-hmm. most viewed death matches in history.
Interesting.
What a feather in Lucha Underground's cap.
I would say so.
Yeah,
I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
That's a question we could put out to. Like, I think Lucha Blog might know the answer to that.
Okay, there you go. Well, we'll never come back to discuss it, so it doesn't really matter.
We'll exist online forever and in the hearts of the believers.
This is true. Mm. Yeah. I mean, the skewers. Skewers in the head, man. That's a spot that I've seen before, and it really makes me... It's gross.
Yeah.
But it must not be all that dangerous. Or else they wouldn't do it. Yeah.
But what about, like, the DDT afterwards? Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
If that didn't go well?
Yeah. That's a risky move.
Yeah.
Yes. But I guess there's no real danger of a wooden skewer piercing your skull.
One would think.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's got to hurt, though.
Yes.
That must have hurt so bad.
Yeah.
What else do I have in here?
Puma's farewell.
I loved that. I was hoping that somebody else would come and pick up the mask. Or did they? Am I remembering?
No.
Yeah. No. So that way they could have like Prince Puma Jr.
I like it.
Overall, when I was watching it, I have notes about Lucha Underground in general,
mm-hmm.
And like their accomplishments, what they've done, and what I think they did well, and what I think that they, you know, through that we can now determine might not work mm-hmm. in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Would you rather start with that, or do you want to go with the awards first?
I think we go straight into the awards.
Sounds good.
You might even consider saving that for mm-hmm. when we talk that Halloween get together on Monday.
No, man.
Okay.
These
people who have stuck with us.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so...
Feel free to cut that.
No. It's okay. All right, so...
Where should we start? Well, we should mention our dear friend, former guest host, Robert Charlton, has given us his picks as well.
There you go.
And he's got a little bit of write-up as well, so this is good. I think we should... kind of start from the bottom and go up. Does that sound good?
Start from the bottom and go up. What do you mean?
Well, I mean in like kind of the... What I have at the
Give
bottom.
Give a category.
Like go up to five top five wrestlers.
But start at five and I'll go up to...
Yeah, but I think fifth, start fourth. With like the kind of more minor awards. Like, for example, this best non-Drago gear.
Oh, okay, sure. Let me see if I have some music queued up for like sort of award ceremony music. Let me just see. What is this? Sure. This kind of works. Lucha Underground. End of year, end of series. But specifically,
end of season three.
Anyways. okay, so what's the first category you'd like
to... As I said, I think we should go with best non-Drago gear.
Best non-Drago gear. I would be surprised if we did not have the same answer for this
one. I have honorable mention.
Oh, you do? Okay.
For my dear friend, Pindar.
God.
Rest in peace, Pindar.
God. Pindar. I do... His mask was great.
Yes.
And I appreciate the spines,
yes.
as we discussed.
Yes.
So that I would like to touch the spines. So that I know, are they sharp? Are they hard? What's the deal? But he loses points for me because it's all monochrome. It's mm-hmm. one color mm-hmm. from head to toe.
Yep.
There's no... it's not visually... It's not that visually
interesting. Let me ask you, do you care for the Rhino's costume in Spider-Man comics?
I don't know. It's a little bit different, don't you think?
But it's also monochrome.
I suppose it's so monochrome.
It's one.
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, do I like the Rhino's costume? I can't say I've ever thought about it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I do.
Okay.
But I don't like Menders.
Okay.
Sorry.
So why don't I give you Mr. Charlton's pick? He went with the Rabbit Tribe, saying no one had more fitting gear for their gimmick than those guys, especially when Masquerita Sagrada joined them for the epilogue, which I'm sure you enjoyed.
Oh, yes, 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 absolutely.
And I'll just kind of piggyback on that, and I went with Saltador.
You did. I was considering this. I was considering this. Yeah. Maybe mine is a cop-out. But I went with Moses Santos.
Yeah, I thought about it
her
as
cape.
Well.
Her cape.
I mean, spoiler, I have her in different parts here. And I didn't want to overdo it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, overall, it's hard not to go with Aerostar, of course. Mm-hmm. Phoenix is always great as well. But nothing elicited the excitement in me. Other than any time Drago emerged with a new variation.
Yes.
I mean, that for me was always like a major pop.
Mm-hmm.
But the only other person that arrived with gear that that made me excited, for lack of a better word, was Melissa Santos.
Yes. Yes.
Although I should give a runner-up, because I don't know if we consider it gear, because it's not in-ring.
Okay.
But Famous Bee's cowboy outfit.
Very good. Yeah.
It was very detailed. Had like a lot of nice stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I give him props for that. But for me, Melissa Santos. For
all
sure.
Right. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, let's go biggest letdown.
Ooh, biggest letdown. This one is.
In this one.
Yeah. Let's hear what Charlton has
well,
to say.
Well, he has honorable mentions.
Okay.
First, his honorable mention are spiders. Just not enough spiders.
Not enough spiders.
And I feel cheated out of an instant classic, Veneno versus Sexy Star, mask yes. versus mask match.
Yes, yes, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Veneno, that's the way that they should have revealed Cortez, you know?
Yeah.
Veneno, yeah. Mask versus mask.
Yeah, yeah.
Sexy Star demands it because she's convinced he's the one with the spiders. Yeah. That puts Cortez in a really difficult position because he's a good guy. Sexy Star is a good guy. It's a case of mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
Charlton, slam dunk,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, that's just his honorable mention.
Oh, geez. All right, what else is he
up? His biggest letdown is, besides no season 4 announcement, he said Pentagon Dark. The whole season, I felt like he was going through the motions, and that if you saw one Pentagon match, you had seen them all.
Mm.
The Lotus Triad brought out the best in him, but that was the only highlight I have from him all season.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I can't disagree. I think I enjoyed his presence and energy maybe more. I don't necessarily need to... I was disappointed for sure. Like he never, I don't think he had an excellent, aside from the Black Lotus, tribe match. Yep. That was sort of his highlight.
I agree.
Right? Yeah. And he was here for a whole season, but I wouldn't say it was my biggest disappointment.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I agree. He should have, his stock should have risen more because of how over he is.
Yeah, totally.
I think that is, something to consider with how they booked him. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed, this is also another teaser of a spoiler, I really enjoyed his vignette work this
yes,
time
yes.
around.
I agree.
So mm-hmm. I can't say it's as much of a major disappointment for me.
There you go.
You want to go?
Yeah, sure. So my biggest disappointment, I suppose, was Son of Madness. We knew he was coming because of the
trailer.
The trailers. We saw that there was some sort of... Maybe it's not fair to say Son of Madness, but during that original trailer for season 3, we saw what looked like to be like a second Johnny Mundo, and then what we saw was like a second Son of Havoc.
Yeah.
And the idea of that, like something is happening where there's now
they're getting cloned.
Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
That
it was kind of like an inadvertent bait and switch.
I think so, yeah. You know what I mean? And so what the actual result of with the Son of Madness thing was disappointing for me in terms of story and in terms of where I thought things could go and where it ended up being.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Son of Madness didn't exactly, you know, light my world on fire with his matches or anything like that, but it was more about what the story ended up actually being about.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I think mine is more broad. The bigger thing I'd like to touch or should mention is the fact that it was spread out over so long. I think really hurt the momentum.
No doubt.
But the biggest letdown overall is just Sexy Star. And just because part of it is because of what's going on outside of the ring and how, you know, they had I've talked about this, how I love the original idea of Sexy Star, and it just never fully developed. She had a couple good moments, but never really.
The No Mask match with Mariposa?
That was season two, my friend.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no.
That was season two?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
See, it all blends together in a...
And she had... And I had Aztec Warfare, too, I have in my, kind of honorable mention for matches, but... And that was a great moment, but that did not build to anything.
Yeah.
If anything, she just dropped, and they mm-hmm. just kind of had to, okay, we'll put you with Taya here at the end, because they didn't have anything for
her. Yeah, totally.
And, you know, and of course we know what went on outside of things and how that just mm-hmm. does not help your company's image.
Yeah. She was champion at some point in the season, wasn't
she? For one whole episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that, you know, a disappointment for me too. Maybe this is better served for when we're done the awards, but, you know, a disappointment for me was that halfway through this season, it really began to feel like a wrestling show that doesn't know what's going to happen next week. Mm-hmm. And so they were booking and planning for the week ahead and not for, a month ahead
yeah.
or at the end of the season or anything like that. So when that sort of began to seep in, And I think that it likely had to do with the injuries and things not going the way mm-hmm. that they had planned, contracts, that sort of stuff. Far too many episodes.
No, four too. I think it's just four. I think they wrote enough material for 36, and then HL Ray gave them 40 episodes.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's my conspiracy.
Yeah, but there was just a lot of that where they turned out to the producers of the show turned out to be human, mm-hmm. and that was. Maybe not a disappointment, but maybe I had unrealistic expectations.
Sure.
I don't know. Anyway, sure. So I have it written down here. Oh, what is, can we move on to something positive?
Yes, of course. Yeah. I think we got that out of mm-hmm. the way early here. Best Spanish language performance, facial obstructions permitted.
Yes. I'm excited to hear what people had to say. Can I go first on this
one? Of course.
Think back, Trav.
Yeah.
To a scene between Aerostar and Phoenix.
Yes.
Where Aerostar is like...
Oh, of course.
That's right. You can travel through time.
Yeah.
Can you tell me if I'm going to win tonight? And Aerostar is like, oh, I can't do that. Or like, whatever he said. I can't even remember the content.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was excellent.
Yeah, you're
right. It felt
right.
Real.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I loved it. It felt like two friends.
Yeah.
They were honoring the situation, and mm-hmm. they were honoring each other's characters.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed comfortable with each other. The whole thing was great.
An underrated scene.
Thank you.
Yeah, good. Mr. Charlton went with Phoenix. He's so committed to his craft, he wouldn't even take his mask off for Melissa. Yeah. And that was a great scene.
Yeah.
He's the white meat, the white knight for sure.
Love him.
I went with Pentagon Dark, as I had kind of teased before, mm-hmm, when you saw him have to have that different level of intensity yeah. when he's talking to Dario or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought he held it down.
There you go.
Best band?
Mariachi El Bronx for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good choice. Charlton went with El Conjunto Nueva Ola.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the band in the Lucha Mask.
Yep.
I went with, and this was quite the rabbit hole, Sergio Araú.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So I started looking up this guy.
Yeah.
And he is quite accomplished.
Mm.
Also known as El Uyuyuyuy. He's a Mexican musician, singer, songwriter, screenwriter, film director, film producer, music producer, cartoonist, animator, and painter. And he's the son of a film director, another accomplished film director, Alfonso Araú. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Mm.
But so, he's been in these different bands. He's on major labels with Polygram, Sony Music. He is considered the founder of, and this I couldn't find anything on, Guacarock.
Nice.
Which I guess is
rock?
Yeah, or Mexican, it does just say rock en español. So it's got to be something else to it too. I wonder if it's, because I remember I really liked that he had added that kind of prog rock, kind of big epic sound to with a little bit of Mexican sound to it as well. Best known as a film director for the films A Day Without a Mexican and Naco es Chido.
There you go.
So
I had forgotten about him.
Full-time artist. He looks just like a cool guy. Kind of looks like a Mexican Wayne Coyne. Sure. Looking at pictures of him.
Yeah. From Flaming Lips.
From Flaming Lips. Yeah.
All right, what else we got?
Next is the Dario Cueto, the newly named Dario Cueto Memorial Trophy or Memorial Award. God, I don't have it all written down here. One sec.
The Dario Cueto Memorial Award for Best English Language Performance, No Makeup.
No Makeup. Got it.
Who do we have here?
Robert Charlton went with Johnny Mundo.
Yep.
Had a lot on his shoulders this season, and for a guy that he's not very high on, he delivered the goods and it took me to Slam Town.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Charlton, what a pro. Yeah, I mean, that was a close second for me. I went with Marty the Moth.
Ooh, a good choice, too. I think that would be a close second for
me. Yeah, if anybody's going to win an Emmy on the show, if we can't pick Dario because of the award restrictions, but it would, for me, it's Marty the Moth. He committed to his character. It's so hard to play crazy.
And creepy,
and he did it, and he did it in a way that we never felt phoned in. He fully committed to the whole thing. Thought you did a great job.
Yep. I went with who I guess you'd consider his foil for a lot of the story, Miss Melissa Santos.
Yeah. She had a lot of very good moments, a lot of very real moments, almost too real. Almost too real.
And had to step out of her comfort zone and actually work as a wrestler. And I thought she performed, like, she had to do the subtlety, like, throughout all three seasons, she's had to do those little subtle little things, and she's never dropped the ball on those. And then she had these, like, great scenes backstage and an amazing match. I thought she really stepped up.
Yep, no doubt. You know who else I think is underrated in the vignettes? In the vignettes is Vampiro. Okay. I thought he always did a pretty good job. That's something I noticed in the final couple episodes. I was like, you know, he deserves some props. Not everybody could pull this off.
Sure.
He definitely doesn't.
Sure. So from that, I think we should just go to the top three vignettes. We'll take a break after this and then do the top three matches and top five wrestlers. Does that work for you? Or
yeah, sure.
Okay. So why don't we go from the bottom? We'll give our number three.
Our number threes, okay.
Mr. Charlton, his number three is Bagel Bites with Mama Havoc. I actually had that as my number two. I said just in general, I didn't pick one. I picked all the Mac and Sexy Star chats.
Ah! Yeah, those are very endearing.
Yeah,
those were fun. I forgot about them as like a little duo.
Yeah,
those are good.
Yeah.
Those are good. I like that. My bottom, my third top, like my yeah my bottom vignette. How can I say this? My third overall vignette.
Sure.
Yeah. Cage murders Lorenzo Lamas.
Of course. How could I? Forgotten.
Yeah, he steps on an eyeball at the end of that was pretty good.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely in a moment that left me totally reeling, like a swerve that I did not see coming, and again just opened up my mind to possibilities. And that's what I love in wrestling, when something happens that I didn't expect and then suddenly my mind gets to start exploring, oh my god, what does this mean? Where could this go from here? Anytime something like that happens, I love.
Next, as I said, I went with the Bagel Bites, Son of Havoc bit, and Robert went with the season three epilogue, which...
I guess I'm not really counting that.
Yeah, but, me neither. I thought about it. It was, how great was that? How great was that?
Yeah, I mean, it was tremendous.
Yeah, one after another.
Yeah, yeah,
one
it made the whole another. Season worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of. My second overall was okay, so I guess I took the different... chunks of the epilogue, and so I went with Dagger with the sword. Yeah. That particular scene where he cuts off Pindar's head.
Oh my god,
that was awesome. So that was my So I know,
that's crazy.
Yeah, if I had to pick something from within that, and then I'll just say my first overall was actually Masquerade Sagrada and Son of Havoc with Bagel Bites.
Great,
yeah, I'm glad. Yeah. There was a lot of stuff that was going on there that I loved. The first was that the exposition shot for that vignette was just the open road.
That's right.
Just rolling.
Yeah.
Because that's where he's built from, the open road. So like, oh, you want to see Son of Havoc at home? here's a shot of the open road. Which is like, it's really strange. Like, where is he, right?
Great touch.
And then he's living with his mom in the basement. We get to hear Mascarisa Sagrada say something.
Yeah.
The bagel bites moment is so strange. It totally, it was just like, it was just so weird. Yeah, yeah. And it somehow all worked. And stuff like that sort of made me relax on a lot of my sort of like nitpicking, I think, too, about like maintaining the reality and all that sort of stuff.
So,
I thought it really worked. It was meta.
Yes.
But yeah, props to them, man. Yeah. They pulled it off without without issue.
Yeah. And they went just in a different direction.
Oh, yeah.
It was really cool. Mr. Charlton says Dante Fox backstory. Remember with all
the scene with him just running was pretty amazing.
I think that's the one he's thinking of. And I went with Melissa Santos in Phoenix.
Yeah, totally.
Working out and just like a very viable romance angle that they hadn't tried. And if you want to talk about being outside of your comfort zone, this is a place that is known for smashing brains and time travelers. And
No kidding.
And they just hit this real kind of, good tender moment.
Yeah. I'm surprised it felt so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was something that, you know, you're doing like really pulp stuff like they've been doing for, at that point, I mean, 90 plus episodes that... when something that came in there that wasn't about like being stylish or being cool or being violent, it was, it just came across as being like totally, legitimate. I mean, I think it's the closest the show has ever that I've ever seen wrestling come to being like, here's an actual sort of like, story about the human condition.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I like it.
Now that I mention it. Yeah, I think I went with that first.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that was a monumental moment.
Yeah. Adios, bagel bites.
Sorry, buddy. I'll ditch Daga with the sword.
I like that it all showed up, that bagel bite showed up in all of our picks. So that's nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was wild. Are we taking a break?
Yeah, might as well.
Okay. All right. So here we go. The, what do we call it? A word from our friends at Place to Be Nations. And... Bone Island Grill in Rhode Island.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which of course includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, and NWA Classics On Demand Adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. and on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed. We offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour, Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows plus others available on PlacementNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlacementNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
So yeah, I as we talked during the break, yeah. I don't have a chief anymore. An idea for if the season four does come back.
Mm-hmm.
We've basically workshopped season one
of Lucha City Nights.
Yeah,
okay.
Like we've kind of put it together. We've come up with a couple storylines. We definitely got like if those chiefs. I think if we just use all those chiefs, that's our first season right there.
Oh, I think so.
So I think my proposition to you on next season is every time after this break, we start to just put some meat on the bones.
Okay.
Start putting together a pilot.
Like
which chief do you think should be in the pilot?
Great question. JR.
Yeah, good call.
Thanks.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's it, guys. Lucha City Knights.
That's right.
If there wasn't a reason before for season four to come back, now
now you have a reason.
Now you have a big reason. So, Joey Ryan is coming to Vancouver in January.
I know.
That's when maybe we'll start to move that pitch into the second phase.
Yeah, you write something up. I'm going to try and actually score an interview with him.
Yeah.
I've been because I thought he was supposed to be coming to Vancouver at the end of October, and so I started doing. I went to Nardwar's 30th anniversary, and I found it quite inspirational.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, yeah, I should just do some serious research, and next time a wrestler comes through town, I'll see if I can line up an interview, and I'll actually have, like, a good
cool
interview.
Yeah.
So I saw Joey Ryan was coming, and then I just did a bunch of research right before I left for my honeymoon, and then while I was there, he canceled, or something happened. I don't know what. That got moved.
But he's here for Barroom Brawl.
Yeah.
Against Sammy Guevara. Oh, I don't know if he's working against Sammy Guevara, but Sammy Guevara is going to be there too.
Yeah.
Should be awesome.
So, yeah, I'm trying to put together a little interview pitch, but I just haven't like really reached out to him or anything yet. So we'll try.
I like it.
Maybe it'll be a one-off podcast. You never know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, where are we at with our awards?
Here we go. The biggies. We got our top three matches and our top five wrestlers. I think we'll start with our top three matches.
Sure.
I'll mention some of my. Let me look here. My honorable mentions, because I want to mention some that aren't mentioned by Charlton here. As I mentioned, Aztec Warfare 2, I really liked. I thought it was really well booked.
So
Aztec Warfare 3, pardon me. It was really well booked. Good finish, great. Like, it worked, inspirational.
Yeah.
Whatever happened afterwards happened. I remember at the end of the first thing up to the break, there was a really great Matanza and Dragon Azteca Jr. match that I went really high on. I loved Mundo Mac All Night Long. Killshot and Marty. So those did not make my list, but I really liked those ones.
Killshot and Marty is definitely a great match. I hate to say it, but Pentagon Black Lotus didn't make my top three.
Woo!
Yeah. But that's one that, you know, if I had a top five, it would be there without a question.
All right. Well, here we go. My number three then.
Mm-hmm.
Pentagon versus the Black Lotus Triad.
Yeah.
We'll talk a bit more about it later because It might show up on somebody else's.
Yeah,
I believe it. But another one that I had in my honorable mention, who Robert had as number three, is the Puma versus Mill casket match. I feel like there was a couple of Puma versus Mill matches that I was really high on. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that one? Or is it...
I have a hard time pulling details out of my memory. Yeah, man. It's been so long ago.
Yeah. I just remember them really shining. I think
Puma doesn't have a bad match.
Nope. Right? Nope. So. And I really think Mil Muertes shone a little more in the first half than he did in the second half. Mm-hmm. Even though he got that great kind of combo. You remember that combo that I really was popping for? Like he did three things in a row. It was a tilt-a-world head swizzer.
That's right.
Followed
yeah.
up by like an awesome uppercut.
Yeah.
So awesome. I'm glad we finally got that at the end.
No, that was crazy because he's never done anything like that. Yeah. I guess it's just like, well, this is the final up. I'm just going to do everything that I can do.
Yeah. What was your number three?
My number three was All Night Long, Mac Mundo. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an incredible performance by two people. They did a great job. I didn't know who was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Cool.
And it actually had a lot of build up to it. So the stakes were high.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I really liked.
It
didn't really feel like there were that sort of... just to compare that to the Black Lotus match with Pentagon, I felt like these characters sort of emerged out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
They had a match and then they disappeared, and it never. When you have a match like that, it all three of those competitors are excellent. They did a great job. The fact that their characters were just one-off in almost in retrospect. At the time, I appreciate it, but looking back now, having gone through the rest of the season, that there was no sort of... They were really just there for that one thing, mm-hmm. and then that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of, looking back, that's why I can't say it's one of the best matches, because it had no repercussions.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was beautifully done, like for a whole episode in terms of like, yeah, I mean, we're both cheating. I'll tell you, it's Charlton's number one.
Yeah.
But it was different and I can't think of anywhere else where you'd get a match like that.
Sure.
That's
a good point, actually. Yeah. I mean,
I think there was enough build, like they had teased it. And look, if they had these ladies for one episode to work for one episode, then they beautifully used, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. They definitely got to show off everything they could do without question. Yeah,
and I love the story they told. Ends with breaking both of the arm breakers' bones, man. That's great.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Is that Pentagon loses that match? Yeah. It's like it's not at all what you would expect, considering with those types of things, you know, people are always, those sort of matches are designed, like as soon as you hear a match like that, oh, it's a gauntlet match, this guy versus four people, it's like, well, we know who's going to win, right? Otherwise, what's the point?
And it had a good logic to it in that he was able to dispose of the first one, and the second one took a little bit more work, but he did as well, and just couldn't take it anymore past that point. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so number two for Robert Charlton was the Hell of War match between Dante Fox and Killshot. Do you have that on your list?
I do.
Okay, so do I. So we'll leave that.
Mm-hmm.
My number two was Puma versus Dante Fox in the Cueto Cup tournament.
That was my number two as well.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And then, so my number one was Killshot.
Me as well.
Which, at times, I think, I don't even know if it would say it was, it was not a perfect wrestling match, but it was... just so crazy and
exhausting.
Yeah, exhausting to watch. Yeah, not in a bad way.
No,
it did ask a lot of the audience in terms of accepting the props and accepting a whole lot of standing around waiting to be injured.
Yeah.
But it was such a spectacle, and unlike anything I think that's been broadcast on television ever.
Yeah.
So major props.
Yeah. Something else.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to talk a bit about Puma versus Dante Fox as well. These are just two guys who are at the top of their games.
Dante Fox had impressed before, but that match, it was like he was going toe to toe with Puma. Mm-hmm. Like he's at the end of the the final vignette of the season, like the montage, if somebody had reached down, picked up Puma's mask and you pan up and it's Dante Fox, I would have been like, yeah,
of course.
Makes, of course. And we're not even going to miss a beat.
Yeah. Oh, well. So that brings us to our top five wrestlers. My honorable mentions here, I have the Mac, Phoenix, and believe it or not, did not make my top five, Mil Muertes.
Yeah.
I have him in my honorable mention, just because, as I said, in that second half, I just kind of faded into the background a bit. But I also said a shout out to PJ Black. He didn't have a lot of work to do, but when he did, he had that really great match with Puma. And he started to look like, this guy is underused.
Yep, absolutely. People who are not on my list, Johnny Mundo.
Whoa.
I know, the Mac. Sexy Star, of course. Marty the Moth. Mil Muertes, Son of Havoc. Who else is on here? Cage, not on my list. Jeremiah Crane, is on my list. Sorry. Anyways, so yeah, I mean, there's so much. The problem is that it's really just like an embarrassment of riches in that these are all excellent performers. We're talking about a top five. It's like, how do you pick? I mean, any one of those could be like my bottom fifth. So. It is what it is.
So yeah, number five for Robert Charlton was the Mac. You did not, we both had him as honorable mention.
Like I said, easy to argue for. Did a great job, had a lot of nice build up leading up to the All Night Long match.
Yep.
Just sort of ended up after that, his story kind of ended.
He's beloved.
He is beloved. Absolutely. And I'll say it again, this will be the last time I'll ever say it, but when New Japan, if they are actually going to make that satellite promotion in LA, like, he's a guy that has to be involved. Like, he's made for it.
And did you like my idea of if they do bring season four, of it just being the story of the Mac, like, he's the only one there, he has to put it all together?
I love it. I loved that. Yeah, man. Without question, that was a stroke of genius. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah. Anyways, my number five is Johnny Mundo, who was, wasn't, like, I think we had him as our number one in season two.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't say he lost his step or anything, but had to have that main guy, the guy, the asshole.
He put in a lot of... If this wasn't, I'll just say that when I was looking at this list, I was thinking specifically as being like in ring. All right. And so for me, Mundo deserves some accolade for this season because he put in so much, not just in ring, but out of ring. He wrote and recorded a song, for his entrance. His performances were always great. They were always funny, but heelish. Yep. His in-ring promos, like, generate actual heat.
You're just a fat piece of trash. Now somebody get this fat trash out of here.
I mean...
I was hoping you'd hit that.
Yeah, so good. Like, excellent. But when it came to actual in-ring, there was... I always felt like I was waiting for him to, take it up one more level.
Yeah.
And I think that his matches struggled with... And it might not... I'm not saying it was him, but it's also... maybe the booking partner. A little bit, where it never necessarily felt like... I always felt like I knew who was going to win, and I was never wrong. So...
Well, that All Night Long match was something special.
That's true. That's true. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And again, like, you could easily make a case for him being the number one wrestler here, and I would... All respect in the world, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Did you say you're number five?
My number five is Taya. She took a lot of punishment, and she brought about some uncomfortable conversations about wrestling, and she took a lot of punishment, and she went toe to toe with some very, very heavy hitters.
Yes,
and I have to give props to that for sure. Her match with Jeremiah Crane was very unsettling, and but she took it. It's 50% her. Like, it's not like she had to be coerced into that. So. I think for me, I
went both in ring and their overall character.
Sure.
And for her, I never really got. I don't think they had a big plan for her.
I agree.
So there's that, and she did have that injury early on. God, remember that? She was like way out of action for a lot.
I forgot.
But she did. But she, she's best female on the roster.
No question.
Yeah. Both Robert and I have the same number four, and that is Jeremiah Crane.
As do I.
Awesome. Hey, great minds, fellas.
Yeah, definitely.
hard hitting, like real revelation. I hadn't seen him do I hadn't seen him do anything outside of NXT before, and just like guy is very committed to what he is doing.
Yeah,
I don't know how much I enjoyed like his look or his character. It seemed a little out of place.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it fit into like the Lucha Underground world, but because it just seemed a little too deathmatch grimy or something.
He's a carny. Remember, that's what we used to think him and Ivelisse was a carny. But then he kind of wandered into like he's like on the outskirts of the supernatural, but wants in.
Yeah. But regardless, you cannot deny his in-ring ability. It's amazing. Yeah. He pulled off stuff that I'd seen. He made me believe that like people were being like cold cocked in the face with closed fist punches. Like the guy is David Copperfield, man. He's great.
That run around the ring and flipping to the chairs was always good.
So good.
Just so much speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Commitment.
Number three for Robert Charlton, Dante Fox. I do have him a little later, so we'll hold off on that. My number three, Marty the Moth. Because as I said, like I think even like his in-ring work, like of course it's mostly the character work, because if you have him as best Dario Cueto Memorial. I thought his in-ring was really, really good. And especially like having to work with different people. Remember, we got whispers of him and Mil Muertes. Did they ever have a full-on match?
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought they were teasing a face turn for Marty. That was in Aztec Warfare 3.
Yeah.
Would have been down.
But I'm glad they stuck with him doing what he did. But show that, like, those whispers that this guy could do a Hoss fight if he needs to.
Yeah.
But then he had all that great stuff with Phoenix. And
and he's only ever wrestled 36 matches.
Or whatever crazy. But he's got a great headshot.
Yeah.
The stuff with, like, that may have been the best angle in this whole season, him and Phoenix and Melissa Santos. Maybe. We never really went that route, but really judged that. But.
You can make a case for it.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
I mean, I would probably have to go AR Dante Fox kill shot.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
But
okay.
So that's my who my number three
was kill shot.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I thought about him for sure.
Yeah, his didn't have a bad match in my mind. Impressive in everything he does. Took a lot of punishment that I was not expecting him to take. Blew me away.
Yeah. Cool.
And then, the fact that you're never sort of like an unspoken double turn between the two of them, and then maybe back again. It was just so weird.
Really good, really good arc for those two.
Yeah.
So my number two is the same as Robert's again. That's Prince Puma.
Oh, really? I went Dante Fox. So I have Puma
as one, I have Dante as number one, and he has Muertes as number one, which is a bit of a surprise.
Insanity.
Yeah, especially like not this season, Mr. Charlton. I'm sorry. I mean, we love him, but I don't know. Puma.
What can you say? I mean, the guy...
The best wrestler in the history of the promotion.
Without question.
Everybody had better matches when they worked with him.
I can see him do moves. I see him do... every single match, and every single time I see it, I'm just like, amazing. How does he do it? The strength and stuff is just out of control.
Elite athleticism,
no doubt.
Dante Fox, I thought this was the revelation, a star. This guy is a star. Was able to go move for move with Puma in a way that nobody else could.
Yep.
Had what I thought was the match of the season.
Yep.
And went right back to work again. I guess I could say the same thing about Killshot. Just everything, every time he was involved, he same thing with Puma, but I'd go higher on him just because I wasn't aware that this guy was going to, in the case of Puma, we knew that what this guy is capable of. With Dante, it was like, wow, like every time something.
Imagine if Son of Madness showed up and was suddenly like, this guy is on the same level as like Mil Muertes. It would be mind blowing.
Yeah,
that's how I felt. That's like the equivalent of what I went, like my arc with Dante Fox. I was like, who's this guy? Did he get cast because he's like the same body type as Killshot? Out of control. I just don't understand when you see talent like this, how come they are not
on everybody's radar.
Yeah,
more than,
yeah. Like, it's just nuts, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nuts.
Well, we live in a time that is definitely an embarrassment of riches out there. And a lot of it has to do with how you're able to market yourself. And I don't think, no offense to Marty the Moth, but I don't think he's really doing the PR thing right.
Yeah.
He's a guy who reaches out and does try to do whatever through social media.
But he might not want to be out there.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. But I know Dante Fox or AR Fox works a lot. But and does get some acclaim. But I would still say not enough. Not enough.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
That's a bow.
That's it.
Wrap it up.
What else can I say here? Before I went on my honeymoon, I work at a local university, and I saw a girl walking through the student union building wearing a Lucha Underground t-shirt, and I was like, she was talking to like her friend, and I was she was walking right past me. It happened so fast that I was like, oh, once I registered, I was like, I just like watched her go by like a deer in the headlights, and then she was gone, and I was like, I should have said something. But at the same time, it's like I'm like a staff member there, and she's like a 20-year-old girl. It's very strange.
Still.
I know. But you have, as a staff member, you're always kind of like processing things that way. So I just hesitated for a second.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. What else can I tell you to finish this thing off? I think that if they're going to do, I want to see the next. You know, have you heard of Wrestling Society X?
Yes.
Okay. This to me feels like the Lucha Underground was the second sort of stage of Wrestling Society X. So that came out. I have no doubt that they watched some of that stuff because a lot of the same people are involved, and that they built upon it. They from what they learned, what worked and what didn't work, and now Lucha Underground happened. With the next iteration of whatever this attempt is, I want it to be set in space.
I like it.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah, just a thought.
Okay. Great.
Just a thought.
Great. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Sure.
What else can I...
thoughts on the whole thing? You were saying, like, what worked, what didn't work?
Yeah. I think that there's a couple of things for taped wrestling that doesn't work, and that is unless it's live... It doesn't need to be broadcast live, but I think it needs to be live to tape. Because there were a lot of times when you can tell that there was an edit or something, you know, suddenly there's no chair in the ring and then there's a chair in the ring.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff really, really takes away the credibility away from the performers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they ever went, I don't think they would like botch a suplex and then go back and redo the suplex because a producer would never step out of the shadows and be like, sorry, everybody, we're going to reset this so that we can get this suplex shot.
But from what just for little suit things,
little
like
things
that,
like
right?
that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But from what I did hear that there were, as I said, with that Matanza.
Yeah. They had to redo a whole match.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I get having like redoing a whole match or something like that's fine. But I just don't think it works when you start cutting around a match
little
like that.
Things, yeah.
Yeah. And and I also think that they really, I can't say I'm down with the sound effects either.
In the opening or
just no, overall? Like in the matches.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't really notice them so much in the matches.
They layer in
the glass breaking and things.
No, like the slaps. Mm. Like, you know, when you do a super kick, you'll slap your thigh. Yeah. Well, they layer those in over top.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
I hadn't noticed.
Well, that's good. So, but as soon as I noticed, it was like, I could never appreciate it anymore for what was real and what's not real.
Cool.
Did the performer really pull that super kick off, or was that enhanced by post?
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of took some stuff away from me.
Hmm.
So that's what I think didn't work. I think it has to be, you have to be able to honor the performances a little bit more. Don't feel like you need to enhance them or protect them through post-production.
Yeah, I like it.
Thanks. What else can I say?
Best stuff? Yeah. I see your best character there.
Oh, Dario. I mean, the introduction to Dario in like the wrestling landscape is so huge. Mm-hmm. I hope that the actor, he's so good, I don't even know his name. You know?
Yeah.
I have no idea what it is. I don't know his name. But I wonder if he knows that he could get booked on indie shows for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
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 I mean, all he has to do is show up and scream, ring the bell. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even have to bump or do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Collect a paycheck.
Just show up. Just go up and like read the matches. You'll be like guest booker or something. We'll just tell you. We'll give you a little script. This is what you say.
Yeah. Great.
Wear a suit. Wear the key around your neck.
Yeah.
Done.
So if season four, Perfect World comes back.
Yeah.
He's alive and well, right?
Ooh, I would put him in a coma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I put him in a coma for the first half of the season.
Sure.
And then I'd have him return to Aztec World for four.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
The other thing I really like about Lucha Underground was that they gave the refs names.
Mm-hmm.
And that the refs, even though they didn't really demonstrate a whole lot of character. Okay. Yeah. Rick Knox doing the flip over the ropes. Yeah. Yeah. That was really funny.
That was hilarious.
He didn't quite pull it off, unfortunately. But what a great moment.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know why other promotions shy away from that. I mean, New Japan doesn't say like this referee is this person,
mm-hmm.
but they allow red shoes to wear red shoes and a red armband and to be
and he's got a personality
and to have personality. Yeah. But like, WWE just puts the squash on it. It seems like such a missed opportunity for storytelling.
Mm.
Like you can tell so many stories with the refs.
WWE tries every once in a while with Charles Robinson. It just never really works.
Well, nothing works in WWE, man.
Sometimes.
Very rarely.
NXT is good.
Yeah, very rarely. What else did I like, man? Lucha Underground made wrestlers. Like, all those guys who were coming up from AAA in season one, the 6 months later, they're being booked on PWG. They're being booked in indie shows all across North America.
Mm-hmm.
It changed their careers.
Mm-hmm.
It totally changed their careers. They gave North American wrestling the gift of these guys.
Yeah.
And not only that, but like introduced so much about Lucha Libre in general, like the mask ripping and stuff like that, that, you know, mask versus hair matches, that sort of thing. That's nothing you ever see unless you're really seeking it out. If you're some sort of Lucha Libre super fan,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you lived in Mexico, you experienced it that way. There was no way to ever experience that in English language, for starters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So huge development there.
There's no way Pentagon is the star he is now.
Without
Phoenix
is
the star he is now.
Question.
Yeah.
Without question.
And you could say that maybe there's no other promotion that has done that much for so many Lucha Libre stars up north of the border, right?
Well, I mean, WCW had a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, but that was always just kind of an also-ran, just kind of in the background.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are kind of looked at as like, hey, there were these really good matches with luchadors back then, but that was at a time when everybody was just paying attention to NWO and everything.
Yeah,
else,
that's
right?
A good point. They were filler.
Yeah.
Time filler. Yeah. And I think that maybe one of the biggest things is the use of the temple as like almost like its own character,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Every match took place in the same environment, and they went and they really explored every inch of that environment.
Mm-hmm. And we'd still learn new things about it as it went.
Totally.
Oh, there's a water heater up in the corner.
Yeah, totally. It that was so cool and something that you never see anywhere else. There was a game. The guy who invented Mario, Miyamoto,
mm-hmm.
he was on the Wii. In the last half of the Wii's life, he was exploring the idea of like an environment being like a familiar character. So he created this place called Wahoo Island,
mm-hmm.
and like a lot of games would take place on it. And it was the same place, like Wii Sports Resort, Pilot Wings for like the DS, and a bunch of other little things would all take place on Wahoo Island, and you would know like, okay, over the crest of this is this thing, and mm-hmm. like, and so he'd always come back to the same spot, and that you would explore it in different ways, but even though you might be treading over the same terrain every time,
mm-hmm.
but what you're doing there is different in all these different games, and like sort of using it as almost like a like, what can we create using this limitation of this environment?
Hmm.
So,
it's a really cool comparison.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I felt good about that.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, Lucha Underground really did that, and nobody else has. Maybe NXT with Full Sail a little bit, but they never explore
mm-hmm.
Never really, like, some of the backstage vignettes a little bit, but...
Yeah, it's like maybe ECW back in the day, when they're in Philly all the time, or Hammerstein Ballroom all the time. But it was still never like, okay, we know that this is somebody's office over here.
Yeah.
So somebody could go through the roof.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool, man. I really loved it. And of course, I mean, the vignettes and everything were just amazing.
Yeah,
so
a lot of
really fun, silly things.
Yeah, I love the ambition, as I've said before.
Without doubt.
The ambition is the ambition and the different feel of ensemble are my two big takeaways about the what I loved about Lucha Underground, the different feel of ensemble. I think back to the locker room riot and how that, you know, is a silly moment, but it's just like, yeah, you get the idea that these guys are...
The locker room riot.
You don't remember that? When everybody came out at the end kind of thing, and Rabbit Tribe was commentating onto Carrots.
That's right.
And everybody was out there. And that's one of those things you can't do too many times. I think it's the only time they did something like that in the three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when you see it, like... just everybody, we're all on the same kind of creative page here, and I love that kind of stuff.
Totally, man. It was a really interesting show. So, a couple of things though. I mean, I don't know how I feel about Matt Stryker and Vampiro overall.
Yeah.
Did they help it? Did they hurt it? I don't know.
The answer to that is no. They didn't help it.
They didn't help it. I don't know if they hurt it.
They didn't hurt it.
Well, I mean,
there was times when it did, like, it hurt that the Killshot Marty match. I remember there was little kind of cringy moments.
Yeah,
sporadically.
Yeah, totally. Juvenile. Definitely came across as juvenile a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. And Vampiro was super enthusiastic throughout this, which was great, but just not eloquent.
Yeah,
and I think
I'd prefer to see him, as you'd say, if they do come back as a backstage character all the time, character kind of thing,
and
maybe showing up at the temple every once in a while. Maybe find somebody else to work with Mr. Stryker.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was overall, I don't know how hard it is, but
you think you can do it? Are you throwing your hat in the ring? Is that what
you're saying? I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
The one last thing I'll mention too is that one thing I noticed in the Lucha Ultimate Lucha Trace, when everybody started bleeding all the goddamn time, is the sheer amount of red and brown in the art direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think took away some of the value of the blood. You think about the ring
color palette.
About the ring. The ring is like, looks like it's bloodstained and dirty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so if somebody's actually bleeding on it, when you look at the ring, it looks the same as it did before. So you know, it takes away some of the drama of that.
But that's the commitment to the dinge, right? Yeah. And I think that
this is why I want to see the next one in space.
Yeah.
I want it on the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah. Maybe that. Okay, that's here's our open season one. New Jefe in town. Aerostar. On a space station.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where you gotta go.
Yeah.
He just beams everybody up before everyone, but like, he's gone power hungry. Like,
yeah.
He's just still I want to see Jeremiah Crane. You're just like choosing. He's just, somebody's feeding him grapes.
That's funny.
Yeah.
One thing I think that really, like, just thinking about the series overall is the excitement was at its peak between season one and season two.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened at the end of season one was that Dario was removed from the temple and Mill and Katrina had taken over.
Mm-hmm.
That led, there was so much like wonder about what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen next? And we had that, we always had Dario in that first half planning his comeback.
Backstage,
that was so exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, those 6 months, like that's the best of Lucha Underground.
Yeah. I think it peaked. Aztec Warfare 2.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
When Matanza comes out, defeats six people in a row with a different move each time.
Yeah. They made a star in 15 minutes.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. And I would have loved to have seen at the end of season two, Dario being removed again and somebody new, another established character taking over the temple.
Well, he has been removed.
Yes, I know, I know. But I would love to see that to be sort of like a nice thing. Is like we know, okay, at the end of Ultima Lucha Trace, we know at history will tell us that Dario will be removed somehow from the temple and that somebody else will take over for the leading up to Aztec Warfare and we will get to watch Dario plot his masterful return.
Sure.
You know, and if you get into
hospital bed.
Right? And so you get into like an interesting rhythm there where I think you get a nice balance of what works when everybody loves is Dario. And then you also get the anticipation of like, we know it's going to change.
Yeah.
We don't know who it's going to take over. And we don't know what they're going to do with it when they have it.
Yeah, it worked once. Worked once. You can find a way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I caution, of course, against like constant repetition. But in sort of the macro sense like that, I think that could have worked.
I agree.
Because Dario's a crafty guy. We want to see him be crafty and plot his, you know, Machiavellian sort of stuff from behind the scenes. So we can't you have to take power away from him and watch him regain it.
Yeah.
Overall though, I mean, Lucha Underground, 4 stars out of 5. Just boil it right down.
Yeah. Well, it's the first time you dropped snowflakes in 2 years.
Yeah.
That's great. It's a good way to sign off.
We're going to be on Place to Be Nation Halloween special on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Or Monday?
Well, we're talking with them on Monday. I think it might probably go up on the Tuesday.
Okay, cool, cool.
So you kind of hear some of our thoughts there as well as some of the other people in the PTBN family. That should be fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any, like, after that, I'm pretty much taking a step back from podcasting.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans?
Yeah, no, Kelly and I, Kelly Nelson, have been talking about possibly doing History of Vancouver here. There's some research to be done there that we've already kind of started on, so that might happen sometime down the pike. Other than that, I'm just trying to, I really want to weasel myself onto WorldCast, at least an episode or two. I've been loving following that. It's really interesting.
What is WorldCast?
It's their World Class Championship Wrestling. It's the start of the Von Erichs, or like their territory. It's Fritz's territory, and they've been following it from the start on. That's awesome.
How do they even watch
it? It's all on the network.
Oh, cool.
So that like it goes on for, God, looks like it goes for 6 years. And, there's a time when it just becomes one of the hottest territories, but you're seeing it kind of in its infancy now. It's pretty cool.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Right on, man.
Yeah. Other than that.
The world is your oyster.
I guess so.
Yeah. Cool, cool. I'm going to try and get an interview with Joey Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a set of Hulk Hogan enamel pins I'm thinking about putting out.
Cool.
And doing some exploration about putting on a show on... putting on my own wrestling show.
I'm really excited. Yeah.
It should be interesting.
Yeah, we'll come back and talk about that when that happens.
Yeah, yeah. That might not be a bad bad thing to just sort of go over. Like, these are my experiences. These were the challenges. And this is why it worked or didn't work. Yeah. It would be nice to do a critical podcast about my own shit.
Cool.
Anyways, Travis, it's been a slice.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Charlton, for being the most dedicated fan. And everybody else out there who has stuck with us, who we've heard from, thanks to Brad and Chad for taking us on. Thanks to Kelly for kind of nudging them nudging us in their direction. This has been super fun. Thank you, Max, for having the idea.
Thank you, Travis, for doing that, and thank you to our lovely wives for allowing this to take place. All right, well. We won't be here next week, so
last time? You know what? Hey, guys, look out. We're going to be out there in the world somewhere.
The question is, will you join us?
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. How about...
For me, it is a happy memory.